Hello, beautiful queens, and join me as we open up conversations that help women walk through difficult transitions and inner healing while unleashing the potential that God has placed within all of us to become untamed and unchained. In each episode, you'll get the tools and resources to create the change in your life that you desire as you unleash your vision, your gifts, and your voice and your confidence to live the life of your dreams. I give my listeners and clients love and support. However, I do take the direct approach and we cut out that BS in your life. So instead of playing small, you can create big leaps into your life. Now let's dive into this episode. Hello, queens. I'm so excited today to bring you Melissa. And we met on Instagram and it was kind of like, I noticed some of the things that she was posting. Loved just like how she brought the word of God and how she was sharing endlessly and how she was shedding the light. And so I'm going to have her introduce herself and bring some fun facts just because I think it's always fun to get to know each other, not just as how we are on Instagram, but just some fun things that people are like, oh, really? So if somebody was to ask you, Melissa, like, what are some fun, interesting things about yourself people wouldn't normally think when they first meet you, what is that? And then also, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, like about your family and just your life in general.
Okay. Oh, fun facts. I you know what? People wouldn't think I'm a nature girl or I would like to go do on hikes and all that because you usually see glam and I'm only in glam usually for work because outside of that, I look pretty busted on the weekend. Not going to lie. There's no point of plastering anything on. I'm all natural. I would say the nature part. I mean, right now I'm in the season of really still finding myself as well as understanding things and how life is going. So to really be out to do hobbies, having children, and we'll get to that conversation. It's just, this is my outlet to where I feel like I'm making a difference in terms of Instagram. That I would guess that's my fun facts because usually people, when I say the blogger, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I want like a whole huge blogger where I'm looking for 80 million followers, looking for whatever soul that would like to follow one more soul for Christ. That's my motto. I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? And don't get me wrong, I was never a church person, to say the least, throughout my childhood. I grew up Catholic initially. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. I live in Orlando, Florida now since late 2001, a couple weeks after September 11th. My mom was a single mom. She worked in that area. She took her severance package. And 2 weeks later, we've been in Florida ever since. And I'm going to be 38 years old this year. So, yes, ma'am. It was a shift. Yeah, Newark, New Jersey to Florida. And back then, Florida 20 years ago was not as built as it is today. So, I mean, it was the sticks. I went to school next to cows for high school. So, yeah, I had a total meltdown in my school bus when I first showed up. I'm like, what am I? Never seen a cow in my life. I was a city girl. I've never seen a cow in my entire life. Yeah, so it's been an interesting ride. I would say I have squirrel brain and I have plenty of stories, and not necessarily would say stories because they're my life, but I would say it's never a dull moment in the room when I'm present. I like to bring the hype. Life's too boring to be freaking boring, you know? I got plenty of that.
As I always say, be the extra, like always be extra in life.
Right. And
women naturally tend to, I just had this conversation yesterday and we can gaslight and manipulate ourselves into being something that we're not just to kind of fit in because we have put and taught and trained not to ruffle the feathers, so to speak. Yeah. And I know for myself, like as I grow, sometimes I meet like new edges of myself and then the reaction that I get from people sometimes because it's a surprise to them too. And it can feel vulnerable to say, oh, I'm okay, you know, and
yeah,
it is and it's okay. And so I love that you are like, you know, about not being boring. And I'm sure you're not. Your life sounds very, I love that you're like, you moved to Florida to see a cow. I live in the country. So I'm a country girl. I know horses and cows. My kids did 4-H and all the things. So I'm cracking up that you moved to Florida and experienced cows. Because that's just.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what most people think when they think of Florida. They think of like I think of palm trees and the ocean and sunny and warm weather. So hearing you say that from an Ohio girl is pretty funny. I was like, that's great. I love that.
It is. You have your city. You have your country life. You have a blend. I'm not going to lie. Florida, you definitely have a blend of what you want to live. And you can live really, really country. You can live mid-sized country. Or you can live full city effect in Miami and all those. I mean, no one likes to drive with crazy people. Stay away from the South Market of Miami area of Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I've been through there.
Society ridden. Yes.
Like, Jesus, take the wheel because I can't.
That place blesses my Christianity every day, spending time I'm there. It definitely does.
Do you live like more in the country area now? Or,
I mean, so I live in the
area of what is.
Yeah, I live in the outskirts of Orlando called Champions Gate. It's about, it used to be 30 minutes for a 25-mile drive, but now it's about an hour drive out of Orlando. That's how much Florida has grown, built. They're just slapping things up. The amount of people that are coming in, it's great. It's just the small country that who you used to know in your areas are no longer, this no longer this small town feel, because now it's just expanding. So to see new faces, to see new cars, and you see new things, it's nice, but traffic has become like New York City. But I'm what they would call rural. We live in what we call subdivisions here in Florida. So when you're driving, you'll see different little quote unquote subdivisions or apartment complexes where that's where you would turn in to go to whomever it is that you're visiting. It's not like up north where you have streets unless you're in like downtown areas and things like that. So it's a mixture of palm trees. I'm only about centrally right now. I'm an hour and a half, whether I'm at the Gulf or at East Coast. So I'm like in a perfect position in terms of being around the central Florida, okay, to say the least.
Uh-huh. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your family, like how many children you have and just kind of like about being a mom.
Yes, I have two naturally of my own. I have a 17-year-old son. He'll be 18 in December. Lord help me. Lord help the world. I'm trying to collect it as we speak. That's another conversation a little bit. I have a daughter. She's 9 going on 14. Even though she'll only be 10, she definitely has my personality. So she's gonna be a force for the world, but a good one. She's a lot warmer and a lot more kind-hearted in terms of naturally having that. I have grown to care and love people only because of the fact that it took me a while with all of my traumas and things I've been gone through in childhood up to early 20s to divorce at 28. I've been through several trials. She doesn't have that. So she has the natural, just the patience and the loving part of it. So, which is great because you don't want to learn that in your 30s, right? You want to know about that in your younger years. And then I have two bonus kids, as I call them. I have a boyfriend, even though I'm divorced. I got divorced 2015. But one's 21 and the other one just turned 18 yesterday, boy and girl. So at one point in time, a few years back, I was helping with 4 children, right? Just 2. So it's fun. It's fun, but it's challenging. Some days, I don't care what people say. You're going to love your kids. Some days you're not going to stand them. I don't care how much you think you're going to. Kids are going to try your nerves in the teenage years. I would say get ready, because in today's world, it's way more forces to be dealing with than what I had to even go through as a teenager. So I'm trying to factor that in, but I'm not a gentle parent, to say the least. So let's just say that my son couldn't get it together and he's spending the remainder of his junior year in military school right now. And he's going to get himself together because I run a tight ship in my house. Not raving little schmuck out in the world that can't work or be polite or do his work for his, you know, his boss or be polite to something, you know, just. They are different. Twirling the hair and being anxiety. He doesn't like to come out. And it's just, I had to get him out of his shell. He's capable. These kids are capable. It's just, we have to push them to it. We got to push them to then stop coddling them. I think we coddled too much. Right. I was foolproof. I gave my son a cell phone about 9 years old. And I regret it to this day. Regret it because the quicker you access and the quicker they start finding things, and that's how they're already going to go through it in school with peer pressure. Why add on that right now? It's, I think we're dealing with a dilemma with kids, especially with teenagers. I've never seen the amount of disrespect and the amount of laziness in my, I mean, I'm not a meemaw, as they would say. You sound like an old lady. I'm like, bro, I'm only 38. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Freaking lazy. Like, so it's a lot. Momhood is great and momhood is not so great sometimes. So I take it each day with stride because they're gifts and it's just temporary. So I can do, we got to do what we can do as best, even if it's hard. And that's where I'm at right now with momhood. It's day by day.
But right. It is day by day. And I think that's such a perfect way to put it, because as moms, we can go in the overall picture and we can get lost in that. And I'm sure that you know this as a single mom. It's, you were saying you gave him a cell phone at this age and you regret it. And I know, like, I have read this book where it was like, as a single mom, be careful that you don't create like this double-edged sword for them because you feel bad. So then you overcompensate. Oh, yes. And then you create this, like, you create these kids with lack of boundaries. And I really had to check myself at that point because that was where I was coming from. I always was like, oh, I feel bad. Like, they just have me. It was this constant, I was constantly coming from a place.
A nagging feeling.
Yeah. And so, like you, I had to come over and be like, no, stop, because I'm enabling my kids into something that they didn't even ask for. I'm projecting this onto them. But I love how you said pushing them because they're capable. And I remember, because I have a 15 and a 19 and a 21-year-old, and they still say this to this day. And I always, you know, when their arguments came up, every other kid, like all the other kids, and I was like,
yeah.
And I will be like, are you other kids? No, I don't care. I'm not other parents. You are in my household and I'm going to raise you to succeed, because I know it's in you. And I think we take something from our kids when we don't look at them in the way that God has designed them and be like,
correct.
Hey. I mean, we can't force them to do something. But I think it's very interesting how you said you decided with, did you say 17 or 18?
He's my son. My son will be 17. He'll be 18 in like 6 months.
Okay. You saw that something had to be done differently. And you kind of had to step into that tough mom role. I was like, hey, I know, like, the tough love. I know this is going to not feel so good right now, but this is going to be for the greater good for you, because I know that you're capable of doing these things. And I remember my one mentor was like, you have one job right now with your teenager. She's like, just don't go crazy. That's all. And I'm like, oh my God.
Very hard.
She's like, don't get sucked in. And I'm like, on the daily, I am getting sucked in. But now it's like a lot of fun because, like, the 19 and the 20, they're quote unquote,
it's a different stage. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a different stage. It's so much fun. I love it. And I'm like, you're great kids. So, if your son, if you don't mind sharing, was that really hard for you as a mom to be like, oh my gosh, I have to step into this and direct this?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So, when I split up with my ex-husband, my daughter was 2.5 months old. My son was 8 years old. So, and it had been almost 10 years, legally married for a couple, you know, almost two. I met him at 18 years old. Yeah. He was great and all that. But I mean, I was running away from my household because of all the trauma and the things I had been through. You know, I was molested by my dad when I was a young age. He's a heroin addict. Almost raped at 13 by one of his friends. Taking care of kids since I was 10, helping my mom raise my brothers and sister until by 18, I was like, okay, I need to help. So, you know, at that fight or flight, you're latching onto the first dude that, don't get me wrong, he was great for the purpose at that time. You know, I loved him at that moment for what it was, but it wasn't the, I met my person, I'm going to get married with it. You know what I'm saying? So I already walked into that relationship with a bad mindset. And then I go party and here I am 8 months later on my own and I'm pregnant. So at that point, it's like I'm 19, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, shoot, I just did what my mother did. And here is the generational cycle starting all over. And same scenario, my mom got pregnant at 19 and had me at 20. Same for my son. So here we are 8 years later, and you try, but at some point someone has to make the decision. You've grown to the point, it's better to be where someone has to rip off the band and be at a better point. And who's it going to be? And eventually New Year's Eve night in 2014. And that was me. Another dumb argument about something. I'm like, bump this. It's been a brand new year. I'm going to do this by myself. Especially with a 2-month-old, might as well be by myself. And asked for divorce. So for the first 6 months, it was great. He was honor roll student, all the things. But eventually, the divorce got ugly. My ex-husband made accusations. The kids were taken from me by the DCF for like 2.5 months. I only got to see them for 4 hours a week on a Friday. I had no criminal convictions, barely a speeding ticket. So when people say that, oh, our government or the social worker, the DCF, there's justice. No, there isn't. There are women being given their children back. And I have a test. I have living proof. Women giving back, getting their kids back after leaving them outside of a doorway at the age of 3 years old, fighting with their spouses. And a woman here that has never had not one criminal thing complaint. And it was because of my boyfriend and some of his past charges and all that. Like, that had nothing to do with me. He has kids, you know what I'm saying? But you would think that our justice system would do something, and it's not. And that's when I would say 2015, little bit of my eyes started opening in terms of seeing a different world, I guess I would say. And not that I was completely into Christ, because I was saved in 2011 due to, at that time, they thought I had lymphoma. And by the grace of God, after 7 months worth of doctor's appointments and being pricked and prodded, I had scarves wrapped around me all the time because my lymph nodes were like, they were pretty big. And I went to church one day because my mom was there for my brothers. They were doing volunteer work because they were on community service for a stupid juvie thing that they did. And she invited me to church and she said, you know, I feel better. Just come. They're having a prayer service. Let them pray for you. And I did it in that day. Prayer, when you talk about going to a congregation and having people lay hands on you with the pastors and everyone being one mind, one accord, the feeling that I felt that day, the amount of energy flowing, power, the tears. I went a week later, did the PET scan. They're like, there's nothing there. There's nothing wrong with you anymore. And then they laid it out. I have MRI scans. My mother walked me through. My ex-husband's family was there. They've experienced it, not one thing. And here I am today. So at that time in 2015, I wasn't even completely in Christ, but I still had a little bit of faith. So I let him do his thing. He was fine. Everything good, great. But about seventh grade, eighth grade, when you start doing the whole teenage thing, I saw his grade slipping. He was skipping class. And he was going to school in the city, and it was still a good school, but you still have in the city a lot more influences than you would in the country life of living when it comes to public schooling. And he just started going down the wrong path in terms of not wanting to do his homework and want to hang out and skip. And now here we are, junior year. He's still not getting great grades. He's barely sliding. He doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to drive. What's wrong with this youth, this generation not wanting to drive? Or not all, the good portion of them, and ask and be out of their comfort zones. I started looking at things like, what's going on? And then he started vape. He got caught vaping. And he got caught vaping, and then on top of that, having extra vape cartridges. And his story was that he was just going to sell some at school so that way he can make extra money. I'm like, wait a second. I've been telling you to get a job, and this is what you feel like is going to be a job now. So he told me at 18 he was going to leave the house because, you know, and mind you, he would still be in senior year. So my worry was he left my house with no skill, with no like understanding of finances. He doesn't want to listen to me. And I get it. Sometimes your kids are not going to want to listen to you. So either you think they're going to come out of it and lift their head, and not every kid does. So do you risk them still staying and thinking they're going to come to it, or do you do something about it? And I hit the Google. My boyfriend actually found the place for me, and I applied and did all the things. And I told him, it's either this, you get 5.5 months with the military academy, they're going to teach you finances. They're teaching them hygiene. They're teaching them trades. They're teaching them not just high school credit. I mean, they're giving them an overall real adult life experience because it's only allowed for 16 to 18 year olds. So you're all in the same mindset because you're about to enter into the world. And it was, my son's thriving. He's thriving. It's a decision I will make every day. And it was hard. I cried like a baby all the way back home when I dropped him off. It's not easy, moms. It's not. But I've noticed that there have been quite a few moms that have reached out to me that are suffering through the same exact thing. So I've sent them some Google stuff, or I've done it and I've sent it off because you'd be surprised. All of us are thinking that's some great, but I always say, don't believe everything you see on social media because you don't know what's really going on the other side, right? You don't know if that kid's perfect and they're really doing that because my kid called the cops on me one year when I was going to take away his Xbox for getting caught with a cell phone in science class on Valentine's Day at that. It was Valentine's Day 2020, yes. So, like, if you don't think your kids do the stupidest things, mamas, you better gear up because we have a society that's telling them they can do and sell you whatever it is that they want, call the cops on you whenever they want. They have no repercussions. You can go tell your parents to go pound sand and they're believing it. Thankfully, here in Florida, corporal punishment and parents still having the right to really be involved with their children is different than other states, right? So thankfully, it worked out in my favor. But some other places, some parents aren't as lucky, right? They're not as lucky at all. So did I want to kill him that day? What? Everything outside of me to not take him back out of this earth. But I did not let it go. I got you in. Thank you. And that's what this whole trip for him was, for him to go there and realize, if I got one shot. Now, when he comes out and he turns 18 and he decides to make a stupid decision, because ultimately our kids have free will, then it's his decision, because I gave you everything I could possibly have done as a parent to give you and set you up, even where I failed, you're going through. And I tell young moms this all the time, wait, you're growing up with your kid. You're 20 years old. You don't know what the hell you're doing with a child. You really don't. You're growing up with that kid, okay? No, neither. I thought so, but I didn't. And I take ownership to my actions, you know? Wait, because the knowledge and the patience and the understanding really does really come around 28 to 30 years old to understanding really what to do, because it's tough. It can get tough, but that's my rant. Again, everything always going on.
Well, that was so, oh my gosh, thank you for being so vulnerable and real and for sharing, because that's really, really powerful. And I know there's a lot of parents that are struggling, you know, with their kids of what to do. And sometimes when you hear the courage of another mom's story, it just gives you the courage within your own. And I got married when I was 19 and a half. We were married for 18 years, got divorced, and I had my first one when I was 21. I was a baby. Like, I was raising my children while still trying to grow up. And you probably get this where people are like, you can't believe you have kids the age that you. And I'm like, I know, because I wasn't finished growing up. Like, really wasn't.
Yes.
And now it's nice, but I look back and I
missed a lot.
Yeah.
Missed a lot.
Yes. And I had to go through a whole forgiveness process of myself, because I felt like I took away from my kids, because I was like trying to navigate them while trying to navigate myself. And, as they got older, I was like, and by the time I had my youngest one, I already had grown in more patience and more understanding. And I knew how to regulate better. And there wasn't nervous system work, and there wasn't like the trauma thing and all the, my kids were like triggering me on the table. I knew like when they were between 2 and 3 and things were, I was like, I'm seeing my own mother in me, and I didn't want to see that. And I was like, something's going on. But I was like, oh, I need to heal myself. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm overstressed. And I had all these things going on. So with hearing you say, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I understand. And I want to say you make so many mistakes with your kids. You do. And then it's just having those conversations with them. And kids are a lot more resilient than we even give them credit for. Because sometimes when my kids do give me feedback on who they think I am as a mom, I'm like, oh, goodness gracious, sufficient. I mean, they can also pull the other cards out and they can remind me to make this. There's things we do want to forget, though. But yeah, I think that is so also what you were saying before, you were saying about your son of like your journey. So when you had that experience in church, so was that, from what I understood, right, that wasn't the moment that you fully were like, okay, like you experienced the healing, but when was the moment where you were like, oh, okay, I really, like, I know that this is real with Jesus and this is where the direction that I want to take with my life? Or did that happen right there at church service?
No, I would say what I had said was to the Lord when I prayed there that day, and they're praying on me. I said, if you give me my life just this once, because my son was only 5 years old. He hadn't even finished kindergarten. I was 25. And I was like, if you can allow me to live my life and just give me one more chance, I will live it to the best ability for you and get to know you more. Like, that was my promise. And like I said, that feeling and going through, I never felt that. So it started the thing, the movements, right? You do the Sunday, you get your word and you keep it on moving and all that good stuff. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to go evangelize. I'm not going to do this. No, I'm good. I'll see you next Sunday. You know, you start to little baby steps. And then 2015, through my divorce, I started getting involved a little bit more with church because I started feeding the homeless. I started getting involved because I felt like it was time for me to just be free and do the things that, for whatever reason at that time, was telling my heart needed. So I was helping in the kids' church. I was doing the homeless drives. I would work Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, and I would have the kids work it with me as well. And then divorce got ugly, so I stopped going to church for a while. I got myself in a funk for a while, and it was 2019 where I had my boyfriend had to go away to prison for a little while. So there's a stigma in terms of men, right? You're 18 years old, you mess around with a 15-year-old, you mess around with a 16-year-old, you do anything stupid. Society doesn't realize that your boyfriend or girlfriendness is considered against the law. You can become a sex offender, to say the least. And that eventually happened to him and his wife at that time. They were, you know, the 4 years apart, and they had the kids and all that, one at the time. And he had an opportunity to go to West Point. He's very bright. He had the scholarship to go through, but he knew, because he was from a broken family, his father was a crackhead or cocaine addict or something like that, and left him at like 2. He wanted to be present for his kid. So when he was gonna leave that day, you know, us crazy women, those young ages, we are like 19, 18 years old. We're just doing, you know, I hit my ex-husband with a car at 19 years old. Like, he can tell you, like, oh my God, Lord, I call BC Melissa.
And that is great.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm human. We all have our anger moments. And she called the cops. And when cops come around and clearly something's going, she's like, oh, we were just in a fight. At that point, it didn't matter. They knew that he was not, you know, she was a minor, quote unquote, 16, and he's 19. So he got arrested. And in Florida, there's no tier system. So you're labeled a sex offender, like an actual pedophile, like a pervert, which means you are restricted to certain, I mean, it's a whole regulations to that. Let me tell you, it is probably one of the strongest men I've ever dealt with. And when he started dealing with that at a young age, he went through his whole background of fights and beating up. His motto was, well, I already got labeled that, so at this point, like, who cares what I do? He's like, I'm 20 years old, I'm fucked at this point. Like, it's true. You can't work corporate America. You can't do anything. You have to figure out a different means of living for one mistake. And that's why I told my brothers, and why I tell my son too. If you're 18 years old, you're about to turn senior year. If you get caught selling a vape cartridge to a child, that is considered a child abuse charge, not alone the felony for you having a vape cartridge because you're not 21, but you're giving. And don't get me wrong, you guys are the same age, you're in senior, but it doesn't matter when it comes to the law is the law and it has not changed. So you have to understand that. So my boyfriend went through that. And let's just say crazy ex-wife did some crazy things and that time they were not divorced in 2018, and she got into legality where she left her then 3-year-old son outside the front door while her and her boyfriend were, arguing. They were high as a kite off pills. How she got her child back, don't know, but apparently, she did. The enemy's a liar. But that reeled him into some stupidity, which he had to go through all this court crap and he had to leave for like 10 months. And because of that, it was my first time being alone. Never been really alone. I got with him 4 months after I split with my ex-husband. But at that time, I was really split up with my ex-husband for years in my head. It wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are like, oh, it's so fast. Like, what are you talking? Like,
no.
First off, a few of you already know I've been talking to y'all for years that at one point I was leaving him. So let's not pretend this is a surprise. Okay. So let's not. But when you know when you're ready to start dating, you're ready to start dating. It is what it is. And again, I was 28. Still, 38 now. And now even what I wanted, 38, it wasn't what I wanted at 28. But needless to say, it was what it was. I had been with him. And then 4 or 5 months later, just financially, it was made more sense. I mean, he was 32. I'm 28, like, commingle. So I, again, really only had like a 6-month break of being alone, but not really being alone because I'm in the middle of a divorce. So 2019, I wasn't in the middle of a divorce. I wasn't in the middle of anything. My life was settled. Just that season was difficult because I had 4 kids. I had his kids and my kids. And then his mom, his baby, his woman, the mom of his children took me to court. She was to get the kids back after she dropped them off a freaking porch, for goodness sake, while he was working back in 2012 and was MIA for 5 years. I mean, I didn't know. She didn't come into the picture probably about a year after us being into a relationship. So it was a trying time in 2019 with having to visit him, help support him, help make sure his kids had what they need. But I leaned more into the Lord completely. Really, like, what am I? I had the time to be alone. 10.5 months is a long time to be able to be alone, to really be like, I'd never liked being alone. Never. I was always with someone. Even when as a child, me and my sister shared rooms. At one point, I was sharing with 3 of us in the same room. You know, me, my cousin, and my sister. So to be alone and not really, and be able to see what life was really dishing out and what was going, and getting your priorities in order, like what windows, what doors do you have open? That shit's real. It is a real thing. And I did not know that at that time. I thought I could have 1 foot into church and, 1 foot out. And 2019, I feel it was the Lord used that relationship test thing also, not just for himself or whatever he had to go through, because he's thriving. He has his own business. The Lord has blessed him tremendously. He owns his own landscaping business here in Florida. And it's great and as well deserved, because usually when people, especially men, let's be honest, they're the good ones out there that get to go through the suffering. It sucks, right? So to be able to get out of it and not use it as a stigma, as an excuse, as a victim, as an excuse for the rest of your life that you can't do anything with yourself, you can.
Yeah.
Because I was an abused child. Newark, New Jersey, if anybody knows Newark, New Jersey, it's the hood. How I made it out of there when you were really, truly a statistic from a broken home. My dad was a heroin addict, for goodness sake. Like, I was statistically supposed to be pregnant at 16, sought out with drugs, or, not graduate high school. Those were the statistics for kids in that area for in 2001 in that time, let alone now. So you can be whatever you want to be. Mm-hmm. It's really how you process and what you do with it, because everyone has the opportunity here in America to do whatever it is that they want. It's how hard you want to hustle for it. I don't give a crap what color you are. I don't care who you are, man, woman, cat, dog, whatever the hell you craziness identify. Yeah. You can do whatever the hell it is that you want to do. I don't want to hear it.
Yes.
Boyfriend's living proof. I'm a living proof. I have plenty of other women that I know, as well as men in this time. And you'd be surprised at the testimonies you hear in church too, for some people that, change your lives. Everyone deserves a redemption story. And we have to be kind and not judge automatically by what we hear and what we assume. Okay? What we hear and what we assume. Because I did the same thing when I first met him. I was like, what? So I hit the Google, like, ladies, don't tell me you can't nowadays go check out what the dude's up to. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. We're in 2024. Like, so crazy.
Yeah. And on the flip side of it also, and I don't want to interrupt you, but because of being in the dating world, I am like in this like a little bit of a tangent where I'm like, did humans forget how to let humans be humans? Because I'm like, y'all are just bashing on men. And this is so unnecessary. Like, stop.
They have a strong position in the culture and the world as God has placed them to. And the enemy wants to rip them away because without a man, without a female, you can't reproduce and you can't do what you're called to do. Yes, ma'am.
So I love your story because I also feel like a woman listening to this, it might have her step back and self-reflect. Oh, God has had me step back with that one, with men. Because, you know, I actually went through a whole detox because there was this, well, this in a relationship, don't do this. If it's this, the red flags, the toxicity. And finally, I felt God say, stop, go with inside of yourself. I am within you. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to show you the way. Take all the labels away. And like, everything changed in that, like, not exactly in that moment, but I began to see where the world has, you know, conditioned. And now it's like relationships have become transactional instead of like actually relationships. So hearing your story is so refreshing. It's not like, oh, I'm with him and everything was perfect. And he basically like, you know, did all the things and swept me off. Like, this is really a story of redemption in itself. That is so powerful. I love that. Yeah, that interrupted you.
Oh, no, girl, I have small brains. So I don't remember this.
No, now I'm like, where did she
say? You'll get that a lot of me. I'm always a squirrel brain.
Yeah, I am too. But you were saying, you know, how he didn't let that stop him.
So 2019 for me, it's like, I was a little embarrassed at times. I'm not going to lie, like, who wumps up and they're like, oh, can you go through? Or, you know, my daughter's not, she loves my boyfriend. She's known him since she's, what, 6 months old, 5 months old. Like, so she, her daddy, as she says, and her other daddy, as he says, that's all she ever knows. She doesn't know she knows who's naturally and who's all clearly, but the innocence and the childlikeness, and she was only 4 at the time. So we told her he had gone to work. My ex-husband said the same thing. He'd gone to work and we co-parent great. And it's been a blessing because I can assure you, 2015, if you're in a divorce, ladies, pray, have faith. Pray for your ex-husband, pray for your situations because co-parenting will come. You just have to be patient and work with it because mine took a while. But I would say for the last 3 years out of the 9, we've co-parented nicely. But back to it. So he's there and I see how she cares and loves for him. And it's like people are telling me, why are you with him? He's not your husband. He's this, he's that, you know, because of the label of people see a label and that's it. They automatically think they shun you off. But here's the thing. How are you supposed to say you're about Christ or you love God or this and that when you haven't given that person the ability to show you who they are as an individual? Why you want a label? Okay. I'm as blunt can be. Some people, my personality is not for everybody and it's totally okay. It's totally okay. But I'm about it. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to say something. That's me to find out. I have to do it because I'm not going to project my fears of what happened to me as a child, right? I know what pervert is. I couldn't bring my friends to my house when I was young because I saw how my dad looked at them, let alone what he did to me and my sister. Right. So what people assume that every man out there can either be that or has that label and assume that they're all this category, incorrect. Because we have young boys leaving high school right now. Shoot, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, girls and boys, if you get caught in high school sending a nude and you get caught, you're being charged and you're being that label. Like, parents don't understand.
Yeah.
This self is legit. But our kids are getting caught with naked pictures. Let's be honest. We did that back in the day, thank God. We would have been screwed.
Yes.
These kids are so dumb that they're sending it. And I get it because we all were through that stage. But one wrong move, one wrong Karen of a mom or a dad loses
sense.
These kids are going to have their entire lives ruined because you have a label and a stigma without really understanding what is going on. So I live my life like that. Always lived it like that. Show me the reason why not to trust you. Once you, and I have unjudge a character 98% of the time. I have friends that come to me all the time like, hey, can you, you know, meet this or tell me what you think? And not that they're going to come with everything that I have or in terms of my opinion.
Right.
But I've been spotted. I guess the only thing my father ever taught me was reading people.
Oh,
he was conning people when we were young, and we had to watch houses for him while he was stole off people's porches. Like, that's what I was doing at the age of 10 years old, 9 years old, okay? Learning what narc cars were. Being a lookout for this, like, girl, I can write a book.
Yes, I can. I'm so glad you acknowledged that, because I'm I'm so intrigued in your story right now. It's so good.
It's insane.
And it's insane.
But then there's a warn men, and we need, as females like us that have gone through and processed our trauma, like, they have a voice. I'm not saying all men are great, just the way all women are great.
And I love that God used you as a vessel. And I personally feel this in my life right now, is he will bring the man into your life that most people, because of it, I think part of it is our gift and our personality. He's going to bring the man that most people will be like, what are you? The man has been like, but we see different in that man. We know what the truth is of who he is. And there are so many good men out there that are trying to use their voice. They're trying to be heard, and they're like, and I'm like, okay, I'm not like bashing the women, but I'm like, women, do better. Honestly, stop. Do better. Like,
we're all talking about, oh, I'm independent. I did that too. No, we all can do everything. But no. Are you guys going to be building the highway here shortly when people don't want to work? Are you going to build my skyscraper? So shut up. You're not.
No, I did that. I said that the other week. I was going off on a rant to my girlfriend, and I was like, because I was the quote unquote hyper independent girl woman. I was like, grew up that way of being hyper independent. And I said, girl don't even want to open her own car door no more. I was like, we need men. I do not want to go out and do the stuff that they do. Like, please do not. I'm not talking about car doors right now, but like,
you know what I mean. Yeah.
The work that I see them doing, and I have such a high appreciation for it now. And I think it's because of, you know, when I hear, I'm like, No, like, come back to the way that God designed you to be, because trust me, that is where you flow. That is where you are happy. That is where
thrive. You are the vessel of this map.
Yes. You are the vessel. Let's come back over here. Let's let the men leave. Let's let them do their thing, because I really do not want to go out on the telephone poles. I do not want to be plowing the roads when it is snowing. I do not want to be building houses. Yeah. Don't want to do all that stuff. Forget it.
I don't think people really realize that. And it's like, ladies, don't get me wrong, you can be independent and powerful, but you can have a strong man at the same time. As I feel sometimes some leaders are looking at a dollar paycheck. Who told you have to look at a dollar paycheck? You better look at here, because if he's broke, does he treat you good?
Yes. Yes.
If he becomes broke tomorrow, does he treat you good?
Yeah.
Because those houses, your paycheck, all the things. And let me tell you, I went from a 2 household paycheck. My boyfriend left for a short period of time in 2019. Again, not wondering where the hell the additional 30, 40 grand is going to be coming back into this household. And the Lord blessed me with a salary increase that year, literally a month before he left. So what I'm telling you, you walk going through and make yourself, he will provide. I never asked for it. It came out of nowhere. And his being gone, his increase was my blessing to my pay to pay. And I saved almost 10 grand, still helped him and supported him in there, traveled to go through there, was there for my kids and all things. He will provide if you have the faith. Take the mustard seed, man. And it was harder, easier said than done. It took me years. But if you let it go, it'll happen. It'll happen.
And then also the fact that you walked with him at that point, you know, that you stuck with it too, that you didn't run, because there are
a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, would. And I admire you for that, because I'm sure that wasn't easy. Like you said, now all of a sudden you were alone and you had his two kids and you had your two kids. And
then to be supportive for him and to hear, like, people don't realize the prison system's man. And it was just because it was like a violation of whatever stupid little stipulation of a statue thing. Yeah. And he went, and it wasn't like anything wrong.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're being like, they're treated like villains. Being, I was felt up all that, like, you got to go in through these barbed wire things. The fam, you sit across from a table, they're behind, like, it's an experience. And let's just say I had never even, I knew what prison was.
Yeah.
But seeing people and even other people that were locked up for DUIs or dumb other things. DUI, but like hitting a trash can and you get 3 years. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. You shouldn't have done it. Correct.
Right.
3 years? Is it really necessary to ruin someone's entire life? So when that opened my mind in terms of, like, we really have a jacked up prison system. There is no reform. Some people are in there. They shouldn't even freaking be in there. Let's be honest. And they're not being taught. And they're not being given the support they need to be better individuals when they get out, which is why our prison system is the worst in all of the world. So the Lord showed me a lot for that. And it's like, you have to be humble, because at the end of the day, you don't know what your life is going to be. You really don't. I had one perfect thought. Everything was fine. My divorce was over. I was like, oh, I can finally breathe. Why? You know? But you go through it. And it was the year before 2020, because if someone would have told me, oh, enjoy while you still can, because in 2020, here we come with COVID.
Yeah.
And then the whole world opens up to a whole nother shebang. And I would say probably 2021 is when I knew in my heart, like, stop your scrolling. There's way more bigger forces going on. I turned my personal platform to more of a share your testimony, be the light, share the scripture. Because some girls are on there somewhere where I was too. And there were only a few back at that time in 2019 pages, women that are going through it similar to you. And it's like, there's other women that are going out there. I think they're all alone. It's never going to, no one would ever understand. And there's nothing that I have not been through in life. I assure you.
Yeah.
You will get through it. You're not the only one. And that there is light at the end of the tunnel, because my life's not perfect. For goodness sake, my son's away in military youth camp because, you know, it kind of failed as a parent a little bit. But life still goes on. You still have to find the joy and make the best of your situation and hope for the best, really. That's all we can do. But be nice to people. Because you could say, and you'll pray for them, but are you really praying for them? Are you really being nice to them? God sees your heart. Well, I'll pray for you, but yeah, you see a homeless guy. And you really know, you could tell they're homeless, but you haven't given them a dollar. Your heart, God knows your heart. What he does with that dollar afterwards, you know, that's between him and the Lord.
Yeah.
But we need more of that. We just need more of it. And I'm not going to talk about it. I was a be about it person. So, and that's where we are with Faith, Grace, and Coffee. Being about it. A lot of faith, heck of a lot of grace. I'm on 3 cups of coffee a day. Faith, Grace, and Coffee. There you go. That was the handle.
I love it. I love that handle. I'm a coffee girl. And so I love that. And I love how you were so real in sharing your story and just your journey of what got you to where you are today. You definitely have a book in you. Oh my gosh, I can see it.
Yeah, I've been, a lot of people I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it.
Yeah. And stage. I see a stage with you. I'm like, your story is so impactful. It's funny because your story has unraveled over time, but all of it is so significant for what people are going through today. It's not like, oh, that was for that time. If the things that you dealt with are things that people are dealing with in today's world. And there are so many parts of your story that I feel like somebody will identify with a piece, you know, some part of it. And just all the things from, like, going through, you know, the way that you grew up to being sick and then being healed and then with your kids and then getting into a relationship and even your divorce and then co-parenting. And now the fact that you can co-parent, like, you guys can actually co-parent. You're not in the fight cycle because some people
exactly
out of that. So you have literally covered all the bases. And I love that you were like, you felt convicted of stop scrolling and start sharing, because we can continue to be on the scroll and not actually realize that we have something to offer to this world and that we are a representation of Christ wherever we are.
We have our purpose.
Yes.
We all have a purpose.
Yes. Yes. And so what do you feel like is the biggest change that has happened in you since having Jesus in your life? Like that you, yeah.
I would say compared to prior to, I would say a heck of a lot more patience. Heck of a lot more patience, a lot more grace. Because I probably would have told you with all the F-bombs and all the Jersey girl accent and my words didn't refine probably until about 5 years ago. Because prior to that, we would have had a whole different kind of conversations. I mean, I remember during my divorce, I was at a bar and I was at the bottom of a bottle type and my boyfriend caught me from saw me from the other side because he wouldn't necessarily want to go to some of those places. But it's like, you know, I was in that funk. I had to just get out. When he saw me taking my earrings off,
oh,
he over and won me over. He was like, okay, then you know, it's time to make a change. So I would say patience and grace to holding your tongue, because in reality, sometimes it's just not worth it. It just isn't worth it. And it's going to put you in a pickle that you might not be able to get out of. And is it worth it? Ain't nobody here on this planet worth it. They're not paying your bills. If they should do anything to support you, keep it on your merry way and pray for them, be nice, and just keep it moving. So patient grace without the F-bombs or wanting to smack somebody, because, yeah, I can assure you that part of me is deep inside. So it's like, I hope one day no one comes to me because I got like 23-something years worth of rage.
Yes, you better help.
I digress.
You visit a new first and the flesh just complying.
Yes, exactly. That's where we're at.
I know. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Right. That's so good, though. And I love the realness, too, because I think, you know, I know from what some of the things that I have experienced and I get a lot of appreciation for how real I am. And I am very real because I'm like, just because I've got Jesus does not mean I don't have sass. Does not mean like I don't feel like,
well, okay. Who says you're perfect?
Yeah.
We're not doing this.
Not
perfect.
Yes. And you will just know, because that was one of my things when I was on my walk with Jesus, was I was like, I can't do this perfect thing. But I had also come from hardcore religion. So I think I kind of went on the other side of it to like kind of crack that open. So, but one last thing before you go. And first of all, I want to say thank you again for like being here,
yeah,
hearing your story. This has just been amazing at every level to hear. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I knew you were a gem when I met you on Instagram, but I'm like, like the whole person now. It's not just the Instagram version. So
yeah, you caught me in a great time where I'm not embarrassed of my life. And that was probably another thing that I'm not embarrassed or feel any kind of, this is my story, this is my sleeve. What someone like that meme that keeps going, like, your cup of tea is my whatever.
Yeah.
Bring it.
That's what I love.
Nobody's assured me yet, so let's go.
Yes, that's what I love about it, is you just share it. It's rare that you hear somebody with your kind of story share it so authentically, so real. And there is so many people that are hiding. They have something to share. They've gone through. I know that was my past too. It took me a long time to be like, okay, this is what it is. This is where I went. This is what I've gone through. And for years, I thought my story didn't matter. So it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But with you, Eric, you've hit so many points that, and I know that's what a lot did with me, even hearing people's story brought out that, oh, it's okay. You know, like, oh, she's gone through this, like that, shedding that light in her own life. And so what would you say to the woman that is in the beginning of her journey and she's going through so many things right now, whatever life is, but life is just kind of handing her a bushel full of a bunch of things that she is. What would you say to her?
I would say, look at your circle. Mm-hmm. If they're not bringing you to Christ or bringing you to church and helping you out and really like mean helping you out, you better start cutting people off, because those are doors that do not need to be open. I mean, when you really go through it, you really find out who really is there for you, who's not. And let me tell you, my divorce, I must have had like 30 girlfriends that I had gone to high school with, amongst everything. Only two of them ever contacted me to see how I was doing and offered to help my kid. So when you really go through stuff, you really need to start analyzing who's around you and who's really supporting you. Find a church. If you don't, if even if you're in a religion, find a non-denominational one then, right? Just get the word, but find a church and be in one with peace. Turn off that secular music. That secular music is not going to make you feel better. Put on that Christian music, something that's going to feed your soul. Because when I started doing those three things, the rest of everything else started to play through. It's hard. It's going to be lonely. Not everybody nowadays wants to talk about Christ and wants to be all up in this, but let me tell you, there is a war, and there's a war out on our children. There is a war out on women, and there's a war out on men. Y'all better wake up. Because the world is waking up.
I love that. That's good. You're welcome. How did you?
Wake up. Yeah, exactly. So I'm a mixture of a country and city girl, if you've noticed. Yes.
Yes. I spot it.
I'm like, you got to wake up because we need it. You need it at all costs because having that world of being open of, don't get me wrong, no one says you can't listen to it here or there, right?
Right.
But there is such a message being between corporations, between governments, between our politicians, between our schools, between inflation, between everything that's going, wake up. Yeah. Wake up, and it is a battle between good and evil. And if you don't think the world's getting worse, you can't even walk into a Walmart without being shot. And don't get me wrong, not the gun, the idiot that's pulling this trigger. Why is this such a phenomenon? Let's ban. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't make my idea an AR-15 rifle. Okay. But no, it's not the gun can pick up and shoot itself, you idiot. Like, and that's the other part of me. The one on reform we're finding. It's person. It is the person. It's the people on mental crisis that is legit going on. And that's because they don't know Christ. They don't know who they are. They don't know their purpose. And they don't know exactly what God's called them to be. And they're letting the world dictate that and their feelings. Don't go by your feelings. Yeah. If it ain't out of the Bible, don't go by your feelings. Yeah. Then they're done that. It brings up a whole bunch of issues. So I would just say that. I mean, it's a lot, but stick the fight. Yeah. It might be lonely, stick the fight. But there are plenty of women, especially in church, that are going through, you wouldn't know. And surrounding yourself with people that are also going through it will help the process get a lot easier. That's what I would say.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. That is so good. Yeah, that all three of them are so important. And so I'm going to drop your Instagram handle then in the show notes so they can find you for that daily encouragement and like get to know you and all the different things, because you deliver so beautifully every day. And thank you for being here. Truly.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I know I don't get to talk as much on my gram because I'm usually working and doing stuff. It literally is just word and sharing, but I hopefully didn't scare anybody off. If not, welcome.
No, we keep it real here. And that's what
I was going to say. I know it's not for everybody, but it was very nice talking to you. I look forward to doing something with you again. And the lady out there, you got this. We got this. We just got to unite for sure. Under God's grace for always, always, always.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Unchained and Untamed. I'm confident that you received exactly what you require to unleash your potential and unapologetically own your feminine heart and soul and be the woman that God has created you to be. It's time to take the next step on your transformational journey. Apply what you've learned and know that I am here to support you every step of the way. I'd love to hear what your biggest shifts and ahas were that you received from this podcast. So make sure to shoot me a message and follow me on Instagram @Schrock_Leona. See you there.